Well, good morning. It's a blessing to be here again this morning. And I love that time of prayer that we have right there. It's just such a blessing to be in prayer, gathered at the altar and just praying to the Lord. I love that time. I really do. And so thankful for those who pray. And before we get started this morning, I do want to lead us into a word of prayer again. So let's just go to the Lord again. Heavenly Father, I want to give you thanks and praise, Father, for again this time to be here this morning. And Lord, to worship and praise you, Father. I thank you for the songs this morning, Father, and the power that was in those songs, Father. And I pray that they would speak to our hearts as well. And Father, be with me this morning, Father. Lord, throughout this week, you already know the battles, you know the struggles. And Father, you put this message on my heart. And I pray that you would let it come forth with power, Father. Pierce our hearts. Pierce my own heart, Father. Deal with me, Lord. And Lord, put me off. You know there's no power in me, Father. I can do nothing without you. You know my weakness, Father. And Lord, we need your truth. We need you here, Father. We need you to show up, Father. I pray for all of our hearts this morning. Deal with us again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that me doing that? There's a noise going on. Okay. I didn't want that to be me. I need to know if I'm too close to this mic or if I'm too far away. I want to make sure you guys can hear me this morning. But this sermon this morning, I titled it, The Spiritual Battle with Influence. The Spiritual Battle with Influence. And when we think about the word influence this morning, I want us to understand just how powerful influence can be in our lives. And we live in a world today where we have a lot of things that influence us, a lot of things that can push us here and there. I almost think of it as we walk. You ever walked on a windy day? You're walking on a windy day and the wind, a gust of wind hits you. And that gust of wind can almost push you this way or push you that way. I think of influence like that. You know, as we walk our daily lives, we have something that hits us. And it's moving us. And it's moving us this way. And what is that word? Well, that word is influence. Something is influencing our lives daily as we walk. And I want to give us the definition of influence, just so we understand it a little better. And it says to act upon, to persuade, the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of something or someone. So understand that. Other words here, I'll give you some other words to help you understand this a little better. I always like to have other words so it helps me clear up what this word really means. So some synonyms of influence would be power, authority, control, sway, effect or effect, alter, persuasion, or to impact. All these words kind of mean influence. And we have to understand how powerful influence is because we are constantly being influenced daily. And what are some of these things that influence us? Well, I wrote down anything and everything. Anything and everything can influence us somehow, some way. But just to help us clear that up a little bit, I did give us some examples here. Your phone, the TV, the news, political signs, books, or it could be things like drinks, food, sleep, noises, smell, how something feels, more important things like family, friends, your boss, coworkers, classmates, church family, your pastor, could be your job, it could be your home life. Everything influences us and makes us walk in a certain way somehow. It can affect, everything has an effect on our development, on our behavior, on our character every single day. And as a believer, we have to be careful with what influences us because it can lead us astray. You know, we understand that the devil is like a roaring lion. We understand that. We know how powerful the devil is. And we know that his heart, his desire is to get a believer to walk astray. He can no longer have us. We're no longer under him. We're not under our sin no more. But what he can do is he can leave a believer into astray. He can make us walk a path that we don't need to be walking where we have no power, where we're not living for God, where we're not doing what we're called to do. So understand, he does this through anything and everything. Whatever he can use to get us to go walk astray, he can influence us through anything and everything. So understand, is there all bad influences? No, there can be some positive. We're here this morning. We're gathered as a church family. We have an influence on one another. We ought to be loving one another. We ought to be lifting each other up as we battle, because we're all battling. We all are. I battled this past week, and I was really struggling to even really come up here and preach this Sunday morning. And I talked to Pastor Tim about that a little bit last week, but Lord willing, he got me here. And the message that Pastor Tim preached last week was truly a blessing in my own heart. I needed that. And it lifted me up, and it lets me know that I can trust the Lord, and that he has a plan, and that he's going to put me here whether I like it or not. So, but understand, there are positive and negative influences. But as a believer, I want us to understand more about the negative influences, and that we need to be careful of them. We need to be careful of what sways us, what affects us, what alters us, what persuades us. Because we're living in a world where it's all around us. And at a moment's notice, we could have something on our phone that can lead us astray in just a second. Just like that, we can be led astray. And so as we start this morning, I had 3 points here. So number one, I want us to understand, as a child of God, what is negatively influencing us and causing us to fall into sin? What is causing us to fall into sin? What is leading us astray? And this morning, I want to challenge us with a verse here out of Lamentations 3:40. Lamentations 3:40. And as a believer, we need to understand, it says, "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord." Now, I wanted to use that specific verse because I like the ending there. And turn back to the Lord. So this morning, as we examine ourselves, I want us to challenge us this morning. Right now, at this very moment, I want to challenge us. I want us to be examining ourselves right now. Examine your heart. Examine your mind right now. Look at your life. Look at what's influencing you right now. What's been catching your eye lately? What have you been swayed by lately? Has it been work? Has it been your boss? Has it been a family member? Has it been a friend? Has it been the lack of sleep? Has something you ate been influencing you? Has something you heard, like on the news? Have you been hearing something? Something on your phone, has it been leading you astray? I want you to think about everything in your life right now and say, what is leading you astray? What is negatively influencing you? And I love that part at the end there, and it says, turn back to the Lord. So this morning, as we challenge ourselves to examine our hearts and our minds, do we need to turn back to the Lord? Do we need to get our mind back where it needs to be and our heart back to the Lord? Have we been walking astray and we just haven't realized it? Well, here's the time to examine yourself. Here's the time to get right. You know, I think of Galatians 5 speaks of walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. Are you walking in the Spirit or are you walking in the flesh? We're examining ourselves this morning. So as we do that, I want us to see that we have issues. We have issues, don't we? We easily let things get a hold of us. We're kind of weak, aren't we? We kind of let things get a hold of our mind. We kind of let things get a hold of our heart that doesn't need to do that. It doesn't need to do that. And our goal as a believer should be living in righteousness, to be living in pure perfection. Now, we can't do that. We understand that we're going to mess up. We understand that we're not going to be able to do this perfectly. We're not going to live life perfectly. Things are going to influence us, and we are going to fall to those. We're going to fall back into sin. But I want us to deal with those things this morning. I want us to deal with those things because we have to challenge ourselves with pushing those things out of our life. So this morning, we're going to be pushing those things out of our life. We're going to be getting rid of them. You know, maybe there's a sin that you've been battling lately. Why are you battling that sin? Is it maybe like a thorn in your flesh, as Paul speaks? Is God putting it there to keep you humble, to keep you where you need to be? Or maybe it's just a sin that you're not willing to let go of. Maybe it's something that you're not willing to let go of. You know, maybe God's saying, you know, that friend of yours, he's not much of a friend, or she's not much of a friend. You know, she's negatively influencing you. God's saying, you need to get him or her out of your life. Now, you need to love them. We're called to love one another. We're not called to hate our enemies. We're called to love our enemies. So, yes, they have a negative influence on us. Yes, we need to be pushing people out of our lives that don't need to be in our lives. But let God lead you in that. Don't do that out of your own self. Let God lead you in those things. And I will look at that a little further, but understand, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member. You know, this morning, it's not going to be easy to hear this. It's not going to be easy to hear the fact that maybe we need to get a family member out of our lives or a friend out of our lives that has a negative impact on us, that is bringing us to a point where we're not living for God no more, where we're falling into sin. Or maybe it's something such as a drink. Maybe it's a drink. You know, I think of alcohol, really, when I think of a drink. Everybody's mind kind of goes to alcohol when we think of a drink that has a negative influence. But yet today, even in a professing church, even in a true church, there are believers who will still have that drink in their hand. Who will still have that drink in their hand. Now, why is that drink so, you know, what's wrong with that drink? Well, because it has a negative influence on people's lives. There is nothing good that comes out of that drink. I don't care what anybody says. Somebody in our lives, we know someone in our lives right now that has a negative influence from alcohol. Do they not? Do we know someone like that? I have multiple people in my family. Multiple that if they have alcohol, it negatively influences them. Nothing good comes out of it. Nothing good. What makes me feel better? I like it. It tastes good. I need all of it. No, you don't. No, you don't. See, God challenges us in our lives daily. There are going to be some things that we don't want to let go of. That we don't want to let go of. You know, here's a battle in my own life. I like to share my own battle because maybe it helps you guys. I want you to understand I do battle with some things. I'm not perfect. One of the battles I have is my phone. Is my phone. A lot of young people, you know, I'm a younger guy. A lot of young people deal with their phones. We have a problem with that in this nation and all around the world, really. It's everywhere. We have a problem with our phones, and I personally have that problem with my phone. I personally do. And I always make an excuse somehow, some way. I need that phone. I make phone calls. I need that phone. I need that because it's got YouTube on it. I can look something up, or I'm trying to make all these excuses of how it's going to benefit me, how it's going to be good, and God's saying, no, 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 no. You hardly ever do that. See, what you're doing is you're spending way too much time on it. You're looking at things that you don't need to be looking at, and you're not living for me, and you're not getting your eyes on what's important. It's negatively influencing you, but you're trying to think of it as a positive influence. It's not. It's not. I need to get it out of my life, and I kept making the excuse, well, God, I need it for work. I need it for work, and God says, well, here you go. What did my boss do? He laid an iPad right in my lap and said, here's your new iPad. This is all for work. Everything you got to do at work, you can do it on that iPad now. And I didn't know he was going to do that. I had no idea. But what is it? God's saying, hey, all that stuff that he's making an excuse out of, that you need your phone for work, well, guess what? You have an iPad now. Now what are you going to do? What's your excuse now? So, again, this is just a battle in my own life. I want you to understand that. But I go back to that alcohol. I go back to the drinks. I go back to that family member. Are we getting things out of our lives that have a negative influence? Or are we making excuses for them? Because we have a tendency to do that. But we are, as a believer, to be righteous and holy. We are to be living as righteous and holy. And I want to give us a verse on this of just how much God hates sin. Just a verse that challenges us a little bit. And it's Matthew 18, 8 through 9. So turn there this morning. Turn to Matthew 18, 8 and 9. And I want to give us this verse. Why? Because it's powerful. And it gives quite the vision of what we need to be doing in our lives. Matthew 18, verses 8 and 9. And it says, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it out from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast out and to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. So this verse is a powerful verse. Now, I'm not calling us to go out there and maim ourselves. I'm not calling you to go out there and cut your hand off or pluck your eye out. It's not what I'm calling you to do this morning. But I want this to be a good visual representation of what sin is in our lives and how much God hates sin. God hates sin, and He let alone doesn't want His children that He's called up and saved to be walking in that sin. He doesn't want us to be walking in that sin. And what are we doing to get rid of our sin? Are we battling our own sin? Are we getting rid of it? Are we casting it out of our lives? Are we cutting it out? I mean, are we literally cutting it out, saying, I don't want that no more. I want it gone. I don't want any part of it. I want it out. Whatever it may be, are we cutting it off? Are we getting it out? Jesus preached this to these people because he knew what they were dealing with. He knew what was going on. And he's saying, look how serious sin is to me. Cut your own hand off if it causes you to sin. Pluck your eye out if it causes you to sin. That's pretty powerful, isn't it, church? I mean, that's pretty powerful what he's trying to get through here. That's a pretty powerful message. He doesn't want his children to be walking in sin. Our goal is to be walking in righteousness and perfection. That is our goal. That is our desire. That's what our desire should be. And maybe that's not our desire. Maybe we kind of fallen astray. Maybe we're not. That's not our desire no more. Maybe our desire is to walk in that sin and to walk in that flesh and to not put things out of our life that we need to be putting out. And God's saying, let's get right. Let's get right. Right now, even this morning, let's get right. Let's examine ourselves. And let's turn back to the Lord if that's what it so happens to be. Let's turn back to the Lord. So I give us that verse to kind of give us a representation on how powerful sin is and why we need to be cutting it out. Why we need to be getting things out of our lives that are negatively influencing us. And I wrote myself a little note here because this was something that came onto my own heart and it just spoke to me, so I want to share it to you. It says, we so badly desire to have others changed and transformed, but God wants something to change in our life, but we fight Him for it. We fight Him for it. So we pray for others. We plead for their souls to be transformed and changed. It's what we desire, right? We love them. We want them to know who Jesus is. We want them to be transformed and saved. But yet, take a second to look at your own life. God's pointing at you and saying, but what about these things, Isaac? What about these things? Are you dealing with stuff in your own life? You know, you so badly want your friend to be changed, or you so badly want that family member to be changed and transformed and renewed. But I'm trying to do that in you, but you keep fighting me. You keep fighting me. I'm trying to get rid of that stuff in your life that's a negative influence that you don't need no more, but you keep fighting me. Why do you keep hanging on to it? Why won't you let it go? Well, I'm selfish. I'm prideful. I try to make excuses. It's what we're known to do. It's what we do. We are sinners, but we try to make that our excuse. We try to make sin as our excuse. We try to say, well, God, you know I'm not perfect. I won't live this life in perfection. Why is it such a hurt, worry to get that out of my life? Well, it should be our desire. Let me give you a verse on that. Ephesians 5:1. Turn to Ephesians 5:1. I want us to give us a verse that should be our desire. Ephesians 5:1 here. Let me get there. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children. Is that your desire? To imitate God. To imitate God. Dear children. He's calling His children out. He's calling His children out right here. Dear children, are you imitating me? Are you imitating me? You know, I think of Galatians 5:23. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are those gifts? Love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these things are what God is. God is compassionate. God is loving. God is meek. God is all of these things. Are they flowing out of us? Are we imitating these things? Can someone look at our life and say, boy, that's what's flowing out of Isaac. That's what's flowing out of him. But the issue is we can't imitate God. We can't live for God. We can't do these things because we get so caught up in our own stuff. We're being so badly influenced by things and we're not pushing them out, getting them gone. We're letting them grab a hold of us and it's leading us astray. That's what the devil wants. He's pushing things into our life every single day. He's trying to get us off the path. He's trying not to make us... He doesn't want us imitating God. As the dear children, he's pushing God's children away, saying, lead them astray. I can't deal with them. I can't make them go to hell no more, but I can sure lead them astray where they have no power. Where they're not going to transform nobody, where they're not going to be doing what they're called to do, I can sure lead them astray and they can't be an imitator of God. But as a child of God, is it your desire to be an imitator of God? Are you imitating God? Are you doing what we're called to do? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing out of you? Are they flowing out of you? And understand this morning, I want us to understand that there's not always going to be an influence that you can get out of your life. You know, when I think of a wife or a husband that's married to their spouse, and maybe their spouse is quite the influence on them, a negative influence. You know, they're really struggling with their own spouse. Or maybe that is a dear, maybe it's a child, or maybe it's someone that you just can't push out of your life. That you can't deal with, you can't push them out because God's called you. You got to love them. You got to live with them. Maybe it's something you can't just push out. What do you do? What do you do with them? Because they break you. They bring you to a place where you don't want to be. They make you fall into sin. Or they make you where they break you to that point where you're sad or you're upset or you're angry, even angry sometimes. And you say, well, how am I supposed to live for God when I have something like that in my life? How am I supposed to live for God? Well, I want to give you two verses. They're very common verses. We know them. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now, we hear that verse over and over all the time. We say, I know that verse. But do we understand the power that's in that verse? Do we understand the power in that verse as a dear believer, as a dear child of God? Do we understand how much we can trust in our Father? Even through those influences, even through those times where it's like, I can't beat it. I can't get it past me. I can't fight it. I'm struggling. I can't get this sin out of my life. I can't battle these things. Then trust in the Lord. That's what every believer should be doing. We should be in prayer. We should be praying, and we should be going into the Word. And that should be driving us. That should be motivating us. That should be helping us. That's what our prayer is. It's to be praying to God, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. You know my heart right now, Lord. You know it's more than I can handle. You know, as Pastor Tim was preaching last week, sometimes God's going to put things in your life that you can't handle. That you can't handle. And maybe sometimes you can't handle that spouse, or you can't handle that loved one. Or you can't handle your job sometimes, or you can't handle whatever it may be. Maybe it's a sin that you just can't get out of your life, and it's like, how do I defeat this? How do I have victory over it right here? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And when you can't defeat it, when you feel like you're hopeless, go to the Lord. Trust in Him. And lean not on your own understanding. You may say, well, I just don't understand how I'm going to beat this. Good. Good. You don't need to understand, because God understands. I mean, He is God Almighty, is He not? He knows every heart. He knows everything that's going on. Nothing is out of His hands. Nothing happens without Him knowing. He's in control of it all. And sometimes He makes things happen in our lives that bring us to that point where we have to trust in Him, where we have to trust in Him, where we have to put all our faith in Him. Because again, as we talked earlier, we have a struggle sometimes to come to Him. We like to live our life our own way, and sometimes God has to break us. Sometimes God has to put something in our life that we just can't handle. And we do that. When He does that, it makes us trust in Him. It makes us have faith in Him. It makes us have to fall on our knees and pray to Him. He brings us back to where we need to be. And we need to be doing that, even in those things that we just can't defeat. Those influences that we just can't push out, what do? We come to God. And we say, Lord, I trust in You. And I may not understand it, but in all my ways I'm going to acknowledge You. Even in this time right now, Lord, You know my heart. You know I can't have victory in this right now. Help me, Lord. Help me. You know everything. You know me. You know what the next day is going to bring forth. Help me, Father. And He will. Is He not going to help His children? He absolutely will. But He wants His children to be relying on Him and trusting in Him and putting their faith in Him. See, we so badly want to live our lives on our own terms and live our life thinking we can defeat everything and thinking we can have defeat our sin and we can defeat all these things. And God's saying, no, you can't. You know, like I said, I can't even defeat my own phone. I can't even defeat my own phone, church. But God's saying, I can. I can defeat that influence. And what are you going to do, Isaac? Maybe you have to go buy a flip phone where there's no longer social media, where there's no longer none of that junk that you need. Maybe you just need to be able to call and text and that's it. Maybe that's it. Maybe you need to go buy a flip phone, or maybe you just don't even need a phone. You know, they lived life for how long without phones? I think we can handle it. Can we not? But, and alcohol, same thing with alcohol, same thing with drinks, anything, anything that may go on in your life that you can't handle or you can't get out of your life, trust in the Lord. He's going to guide and direct you. And understand, it may break you. You may have to fall on your knees and cry out to God and be utterly broken to bring in that humility that we need. We need to be humbled. You can't always win every battle, church. You can't always win every battle, but let me tell you, you have God on your side. And every negative influence, He's going to help you through. So as we walk life, understand that we have to be pushing things out of our life that don't need to be there. We have to be getting rid of those. And I want to lead us into point two here. Actually, let me show you one more verse here. Let me go to John 16:33. I don't know this one by heart. I've been trying to memorize it, but I just always butcher it. So let me go there real quick. I want to show you John 16:33. Because this one's a good one for a believer. This one will help you through every battle. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Have peace in those things. Have peace that God's going to help you through it and that you're going to overcome it. Why? Because God's already overcome it. He's overcome the world, church. There's nothing that He can't overcome. So I want to give you that verse. I know I would butcher that verse if I tried to memorize that and say it right now, but I wanted to turn there and show you that because that's another good verse to help you to understand that God's there. He's got it. He's in control. Have faith. Have faith. Trust in Him. But as we move on here, as we move on to our next point here, as a believer, you have been set apart. You have been set apart. God has transformed you. Is that not what happened in salvation? He transformed you. He gave you a new desire. He gave you a new love. You once loved that sin. You once loved those bad influences. You once wanted to live the way you wanted to live. Now you have a new desire to live for God. And yes, we struggle in that, just as we mentioned. But that's your new desire. So as this new point, as we have another point here, God, I want us to understand, God has set us apart. God has set us apart. We are to be a great influence in this world. So understand, as a believer, as a child of God, you have been set apart. And now that you have been set apart, now that you have been transformed, now that you have been saved by the blood of Jesus and you have a new desire, you have a new love, now what? Now what? Well, be a great influence of this world. Be a great influence in this world. God has called us to be a great influence in this world. And who was a great example of that? The early church. The early church had a profound impact on this world. Do they not? I mean, we have the Bible in our hands right now, probably because of them. Because God used them. They had a fire, they had a passion, they had a zeal to go out and influence this world, to do what they were called to do. And I want us to understand, when we are set apart, we're set apart. What does that mean? Well, we're sanctified. Sanctified literally means to be set apart. That's what happened in our life. We were sanctified. We were set apart. And now that we're set apart, we're no longer of this world. So we look at all this world, we say, look at all this stuff going on out there. I mean, there is so much negative influence. There's so much evil going on. The devil just has a sway on this world. Well, as a believer, does this not put a fire in your heart to go out there and influence this world in a positive way? To be going out and doing what we're called to do and bringing the gospel out? I want us to look at this a little deeper. Go to Matthew 5:13-16. Matthew 5:13-16. And it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That right there is that set apart. So when I say that, when I say we've been sanctified, when I say we've been set apart, there's your example. How have we been changed? Well, now we're no longer darkness. Now we're the light. Now we're the salt of the earth. Now we give seasoning to the earth. Now we're seasoning. We're now sheep amongst the wolves. Let me go there. Matthew 10:16 is another example. Just turn over a few pages. Matthew 10:16. It says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." So as we continue on, we see that we're set apart. We're different. We're different. And as being different, we should be influencing this world in a different way. We should be doing this in a different way. We should no longer be a negative influence in this world. We should have a positive impact in this world. We should be swaying the world. We should be persuading the world to believe that there is a Savior, that there is someone out there who can save your soul. You can put your faith and trust in someone, and that's Jesus who died on the cross, is it not? We have a Savior. And so much of this world is so caught up in all the negative. They don't know where to look to. We have someone we can look to. We know who to look to. Why are we not out there influencing the world? Is that something we have a desire to do? We should be out there influencing this world, turning people to Christ. That should be our desire. And I want us to challenge us with something here this morning. I want us to say, are we influencing people's lives? Do people want to imitate us? Do people want to imitate us? Now you may think, what is he talking about when he says that? Well, Paul had a great example of this. Go to 1 Corinthians 11:1. You can turn there. I have it right here. But 1 Corinthians 11:1, you can turn there if you want to write this down. But imitate me. Imitate me. This is Paul speaking to the Corinth. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. So you may say, well, what does this mean? Well, when you walk out in this world, could you tell someone to imitate you? That'd be interesting to say, wouldn't it? That'd be interesting to say. Could someone look at you and say, I want to imitate them. I want to be like them. What is going on in them? I want that. I want what they have. I want to live like them. Paul's saying that right now. Now, Paul's not saying that in pride. Paul's not saying that because he's trying to lift himself up and say he's perfect. Paul's not perfect. We know that. Paul's not perfect. But why would Paul say, imitate me? Why would he say that to the church of Corinth? Why would he say that? Because Paul is an example. Paul's the example. Paul's saying, look at me. I imitate Christ. That's my desire. My desire is what, church? To imitate Christ, just as I also imitate Christ. That's what Paul wants to do. He wants to imitate Christ. That's how he's wanting to live life. He's wanting to live filled with the Holy Spirit. He's wanting to imitate Christ just as Christ walked. He wants to have a profound impact and influence just as Christ did. And he's telling the church of Corinth, look at me. Look at me. Look at what I've been dealing with. Look at what I've been doing in my life. This is what I want for you. Why do I want this for you? Because I want you to also imitate Christ. As a believer, imitate Christ yourself. Paul's just saying, look at me. I'm an example, but look who I look to. Look who I look to. I look to Christ. And you can look to me. And when you look at me, you can see that I look to Christ. So in all things, church, we need to be imitating Christ, just as we read back in Ephesians 5:1. Ephesians 5:1 and 1 Corinthians 11:1 speak of the same thing. Are we imitating Christ? Are we imitating God? And to give us this example, to help us understand this a little more, do you have a young one in your life? Do you have someone in your life who's young, a young child? Maybe it's your own child. Maybe it's a grandchild. Maybe it's a niece or a nephew. Would you have them look to you and say, I want to be just like them? You know, I think of my nephew. Would I want my nephew to look at me and say, I want to imitate my uncle? I want to imitate my uncle. Can he look at his uncle and say, he's different? He loves. He's kind. He's generous. He's compassionate. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's all the things of the Holy Spirit. He may not understand that right now as he's young, but as he grows up, will he look at his uncle and say, I want to imitate my uncle? or I want to imitate my mom and dad, you know, as a parent or as a grandchild or a grandfather or grandmother, as an aunt or an uncle, you have to understand just how much of an influence you have on your children, on children, because they don't know who to look to yet. They're trying to look at, they're trying to build their character, just as we've seen what the definition of influence was. They're building their character. They're developing their behavior. Everything is developing. They're young. They're growing up, seeing everything. And they see so much of this world. You know, we have school systems nowadays that don't even preach the truth, or they don't even teach the truth no more. You know, they're influenced now because now schools nowadays want to just preach this agenda that this government has out, of wickedness, of saying, well, we don't even know what gender you are, and you'll grow up and figure that out one day, and you might not even know, you'll just be a transgender, whatever it may be. They don't even know what gender they are. They see so much negative influence, church, in this world, so much of it. And there's nothing we can really do about it. It's everywhere. We need to be trying to get that out of their lives as best we can. But you can't just shield them with everything, right? You can't just completely cover them up and bubble wrap them. They have to live in this world just like you. But even as I think of that young one, can I say they can imitate me? That ought to be a challenge in our own heart, church. That ought to challenge us a little bit. Are we dealing with ourselves? Are we dealing with our own sin? Are we living as Christ has called us to live and saved us to be? And as we think of those young ones, can they look at us? Are we a good influence in their lives? How are we influencing them? And let's understand now. You think of it as, okay, well, we go out and we preach the gospel in this world. We go out and we're influencing this world. We're being a great influence. And we say, okay, are we a positive influence or are we a negative influence? Well, you're going to be both. You're going to have a positive influence on this world, and you're going to have a negative influence on this world. You may say, well, how am I going to have a negative influence on this world? Because this world hates the gospel. This world hates the gospel. So people need to see Christ in you. And yes, to some it will save. To some they're going to see Christ. And understand, it's not you that's going to save them. Just because they look at you and say, oh, there's something different about them, that's not going to save them. You must preach the gospel to them because the gospel is what saves. We'll look at that a little further. But understand, do they see a light in you? Are you the light in the earth? Are you the light or are you the darkness? Are you living just as the world lives? Do they see something different in you? And if they do, there may be a positive impact to them. You may sway them and persuade them in a positive way. They may want more of you. But to some and most of this world, they may not want you at all. They may not want you at all, and they may say, I don't want that person at all. Why? Because they want to live in their sin. They don't want what's good. They don't want the gospel. They don't know it's the good, and they may see it as a negative impact. They may see it as a negative influence, but really, you are being a good influence if you're preaching the gospel. But understand, I want us to look at this. Go to 2 Timothy 4:3, and we're going to look at how people are going to hate us. People are going to hate us if we're being the light in this world. If we're having such a profound influence on this world, people will hate us. So go to 2 Timothy 4:3. I want to see this. Let me get there. It says, 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from their truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, enduring afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So you may wonder, well, if you look out and you say, well, I'm preaching the gospel to them, why do they hate me so much? Because you are preaching the gospel. They don't like the gospel, church. This nation is not going to like the gospel. This nation may not even like you. They may want you gone. But you do it anyway. You fulfill your ministry and you endure the afflictions. And they may heap up themselves their own teachers. That's what much of these churches are nowadays. They don't want the true gospel. They don't want it. They want itching ears. They want what's going to contain themselves. They don't want to put off their sin. They want to live as they want to live. And because of that, they'll put their own doctrine. They'll make up their own stuff and they'll believe that. But that shouldn't stop you from preaching the gospel. And even if they hate you, you do it anyway. You do it anyway. But I do want us to have an understanding that as we are influencing this world, as we are influencing those around us, we can save someone. God may use us to save someone. So we can have a positive influence. We're not all just negative influence. We have a positive influence. Let's go to Ephesians 1:3, and I'll show you this. This will be a word of encouragement that you ought to keep going. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep being the light of the world. Keep being the salt of the earth. Ephesians 1:13. And it says, "In him you also trusted. Have you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." So understand, the gospel does save, church. The gospel does save souls. It does save. And it saved you. It saved you. It broke you. It brought you to that place of brokenness. And that's what the gospel does, church. That's why it's hated so much in this nation. That's why it doesn't like the influence of the gospel. That's why this nation doesn't want the gospel. It wants to push it away. Why? Because it hurts the feelings. It hurts the feelings. It turns people to realize they're sinners and they have no hope in themselves. It turns people to see themselves for what they are. And they don't want that. They don't want that. But what does the gospel do? It saves souls. It is salvation. It saved you. It saved me. It saved me, and it saves you. And it will save others. It will save. So let it be an influence to others. Be the light of the earth. Be the salt of the earth. Be the sheep amongst the wolves. And let the gospel flow out of you. Let the gospel flow out of you. And understand, I do want to look a little further into the gospel, because the gospel is what saves. The gospel is, so this is number three here, the gospel is the greatest influence in this world. The gospel will be the greatest influence in this world. Why? Because people will stand before God Almighty one day. They will stand before God Almighty one day, and whatever they did with the gospel is where they will be going for eternity. The choice they make with the gospel is where they will go for eternity. That is the greatest influence in this world, is the gospel. Because everybody will one day have to face God Almighty, and the gospel is going to determine where they go. The gospel has the greatest influence. So understand this. We need to understand just how powerful the gospel is and why we need to be preaching it, because the gospel is the only thing that saves. And the word gospel actually means good news, church. Gospel means good news. So you are bringing the good news amongst this world, but the issue is you're bringing the good news in a world that loves the bad news. You're bringing the good news in a world that loves the bad news, that wants the bad news. Not everything. I mean, we do see people out there that are broken, that do need healing. But much of the world doesn't want the good news. They don't see it as the good news. They hate it. I want us to give us an example. I was actually searching more on influence a little bit, and other preachers who have preached on this word before. And John MacArthur preached on this word. And John MacArthur had two sermons on this word, on the word influence. And one, he titled that message, the sermons, Myth of Influence. The Myth of Influence. And I want us to think about that a little bit. What John MacArthur was preaching about in his sermons was how many churches nowadays, many churches, so badly want to influence people, but they want to do it in a way that makes people happy. That makes people happy. So what does this mean? Well, they don't preach the true gospel. They water it down. They don't want to hurt people's feelings. They want to try to get people to church and come to that church. But by doing that, they preach more of a positive message. They don't preach about sin. They don't preach about hell. They preach a positive message. Some even build giant churches that look appealing, that has lots of room and lots of pews and has a nursery and all these things for children. And they may have a bunch of teachers to teach children and a bunch of classrooms and all this stuff. They make everything look so appealing. They have a band that play a massive band that plays loud music, and they worship God and they praise God in all these ways. But what was John saying? John MacArthur was saying, this is a negative influence on them. This is the myth that's involved in this influence. Why? Because it's not going to lead people to salvation. It's not going to lead people to God. It's not going to lead people to be broken over their sin and to turn to Jesus and call on Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Why? Because they're not bringing the greatest influence. They pushed it out. They're not preaching the gospel no more. The gospel has the greatest influence. The gospel will hurt feelings. The gospel will not be liked. But we do not stop. We do not stop preaching the gospel. Because the souls that need it will be saved. God will save souls. He will. And He has, because you are evidence of it. You are evidence of it if you are a child of God. He does save souls. So understand, church, as we close here, you have a calling. You have a calling. And that calling is to be preaching the gospel. Matthew 28:20. Jesus is with us always, but Matthew 28:19 says, go, therefore, go, preach the gospel to all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go. We have a calling. We have to be a great influence on this earth. We have to be. But this morning, let us think about this as we close this morning. As a believer, as a child of God, do you need to be dealing with something in your own life? Do you need to be dealing with something? Do you need to turn to God and say, Lord, I've been falling into sin. I've let so much stuff, so much negative things influence my life, and it's driving me away from you. It's swaying me. It's causing me to lead, it's leading me into my sin. It's causing me to sin. Lord, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I'm turning back to you. And Lord, help me have victory. Give me victory over these things. Let me push them out of my life. Let me push them out. So as a believer, I want to challenge your heart this morning with that. And maybe you're someone who doesn't know if you're saved. Maybe you need salvation. Maybe you need salvation. Well, I want to give you a verse here. You don't have to turn there. I have it. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but His long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God Almighty, church, it is His desire that souls be saved. He loves people, church. He wants people to be saved. And if you are out there and you are lost, understand God wants you to be saved. He sent His Son for you. Jesus died for you. He took your sins. He took your sins. So come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Put your faith and trust in Him. Call on Him as your Lord and Savior, and He will save you because that's His desire. And then live for Him. Live for Him. And then when you do that, be a great influence in this world. Be a great influence. Be the light. Be the light. And let us just go to prayer this morning. Grandma, if you'd want to come, lead into a hymn this morning. We'll have invitation here. But let us just go to prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to give you thanks and praise, Lord, for this message that you put on my heart, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would deal with every heart this morning. Every heart, Father, even my own, Lord. Lord, you've been dealing with me all week, Father, and even the weeks before. And Father, I lack trusting in you. I lack putting my faith in you, Father. And I let so much sin entangle me, Father, and so many things entangle me, Lord. And Lord, help me deal with these things in my own life. And I pray for those who are out there, Father, who need you, Father. The souls that are lost, those who need salvation, Father, those who never turn to you, Lord. I pray that they would understand that you love them. I pray that they would come to that understanding, Father, and that they would seek you and they would fall before you, Father, and they would repent and turn from their sins and call on you as your Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the cross and what you've done in my own life. Lord, I thank you for this church family. Lord, I love them, and I thank you that they deal with me and that they love me and that they pray for me, Father. Lord, you are so wonderful. You are so worthy to serve, Father. Let us be an influence in this world. Let us preach the gospel, Father. Let this gospel deal with the hearts of people. Let the gospel deal with the hearts, Father. And I love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that you do. And as we have this time of invitation, Father, deal with our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.